Father, we give you thanks and praise this glorious morning as we approach your word. We do so reverently and with deep hunger for the truth in our hearts. And we ask you, Lord, to open the eyes of our understanding so that we might behold wondrous things out of your word here this morning. Help us to have clarity of understanding of that which you declare to us out of the holy written word, so that we may not just be hearers of the word only, but doers as well, in order to profit thereby. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our teacher here this morning, even as you teach us always and guide us into all truth. We give you all the glory, Lord, for speaking to us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, Amen. Praise God. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let us read together from the first verse down to verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 1 to 4. Let's go. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Amen. Praise God. Notice in verse 4, before we look very closely at what we are looking at this morning, notice the phrase right there in verse 4, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. In other words, God wants you and I as Christians, because Peter wrote this epistle to Christians. If we look at verse 1, it's talking about those who have obtained the same kind of faith that he and the other apostles had. So he's saying those who have obtained similar faith as we have, I'm writing this unto you. And I am encouraging you to partake of that which belongs to you as followers of Christ and as children of God. Because through Christ, Bible says we have become the children of God. In John chapter 1, Bible says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. So we are to partake of the nature of our Father. In a nutshell, the divine nature there is talking about the nature of God himself. That's why as Christians, we must not just look at ourselves as mere men. We are more than ordinary people. We are God's children. We have the nature of God within us. And God wants us to literally live that nature from inside out on a daily basis. You see, the people of the world don't have anything to live by from the inside of them because they are corrupt on the inside. So they have to live from outside. That's why everything about them in the world is just what they can see. They don't understand faith in the world. They only believe what they can see. They go by their feelings. They go by their natural interpretation of the things around them. But for us as Christians, we have the nature of God within us. We have the new born spirit within us. We can live by faith. We can believe things we don't see with the physical eyes and things we can't understand with natural senses. We can understand by the Spirit of God within us because we are one with God and we have access to God and the realm of God's glory at all times. And so Peter is encouraging us to learn to partake of that nature, that divine nature which belongs to us, not just to live naturally as the people of the world, but to begin to live supernaturally. Say to your neighbor, you are a supernatural being, and you ought to live supernaturally. Amen. Now, in order to do that, right there in verse 4, Bible says, whereby, 2 Peter again, chapter 1, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. You see? So we have to look into the Word of God. Those promises are written in the Word of God. And then we have to learn those promises, understand them clearly, so that we may be able to utilize the knowledge and understanding of those promises in partaking of God's divine nature, because we cannot do it any other way. We have to do it by accessing the Word of God and the Spirit of God. There is no other way to partake of the nature of God in this world other than by His Word and by His Spirit. Those two are available for us to take advantage of on a daily basis. And we have to understand that the two of them came from above, not from the earth. The Word of God came from above. It is heavenly. And God spoke through prophets at various times. And then in these last days, He has spoken to us through His Son. And everything originated from God's own realm in the heavenly places, and here on earth we have access to the knowledge of God, and we have to utilize that knowledge in order to partake of the nature or the divine nature of God, which we all have access to as Christians. So we need the Word of God, and we need the Holy Spirit, who moved upon men to write the word, and who also teaches us the truth and helps us to live for God. So say to your neighbor, you need the Word of God and you need the Holy Spirit in order to partake of the divine nature of God in all aspects of life. Amen. Now let us back up to verse 3. We are going to spend some time right there in verse 3. That's where we are going this morning. According as His divine power. Please underline that in your Bible. We just read in verse 4. Bible there helping us to understand that we need to partake of the divine nature. The divine nature or the nature of God. And then in verse 3, Bible is talking about the divine power. The divine power of God or the power of God. So according to the power of God, we have been given, according to verse 3 there, we have been given all things. Please underline your Bible, all things. Not some things, all things. You see, our God is such a good God. That's why He's called El Shaddai. God is not the kind of God that just looks at one area of your life and then He doesn't care about the others. God cares about the totality of your person and the totality of every aspect of your life. He wants you, for instance, to be in health. He wants you to prosper in all things. He wants your soul to prosper. He wants you to have long life. He wants you to have fullness of joy. He wants you to have peace. He wants you to walk upon your high places in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? God is always mindful of every one of us. He wants the best for us. He said in Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. They are thoughts of peace, not of evil. They are to give you an expected end. You see, God even planned a destiny for you from the foundation of the world. Not in the sense of being partial, then he planned a good one for you and then he didn't plan a good one for another. No, he planned good for everybody. But you see, because he had foreknowledge of our choices, he began to deal with each one of us based on the knowledge of the choices we would make even before we were formed in our mother's womb. And so he began to direct our steps in the way to go in order to get to the expected end. So say to your neighbor, God is a good God. He has good plans for you and for me. But we need to walk with him and obey him in order to get there. Amen. So if we want to fulfill God's plans for our lives and God's destiny for our lives, we have to learn to obey God. That's why we need to spend time in the Word of God and in prayer and allow the Word and the Holy Spirit to help us partake of the divine nature on a daily basis. So according as his divine power hath given unto us all things. So by the power of God, we already have all things. Notice the word hath. Hath there is talking about past tense. So that tells you and me that whatsoever we will need all the days of our lives here on earth, God has already provided for us. It's not just thinking about providing those things. He has already provided them. In fact, put your finger there and turn backwards a few pages in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 1. If you are a Christian, you already have full supply. And someone may say, but I lack so many things. If I really have all the supply, how come I lack all these things? For instance, I don't even know what to do in this situation. I lack the wisdom. You see, the truth is that the provision is available already in the Spirit. So you have to learn to reach into that realm of God because God is Spirit. You have to learn to reach into the realm of God in the Spirit to possess the blessings that belong to you, and then those blessings, once you have laid hold upon them in the Spirit, will be translated into the physical for you to enjoy here on earth as it is in heaven. And that is done by the power of the Holy Spirit himself, not by any human power. No man can do it for you. Say to your neighbor, no man can do it for you. Only God can. So stop looking to man and start looking to God. Amen. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, again, look at the word past tense, who hath blessed us. Bible didn't say, who is going to bless you? Bible says, he has already blessed you. So that's the way God works. Remember, when God came to Abraham then. He was Abraham. He didn't have a child. And God spoke to him. And God said, I have, past tense, made you a father of many nations. And the man didn't have anything. God didn't say, I will make you a father of many nations. He said, I have done it. But where is the child now? There is nothing to show for it. Well, because God is Spirit, once he speaks, it is done in the Spirit. But for you to enjoy it here in the physical, you have to walk with him and live by faith. So Abraham had to walk with God and live by faith before he received Isaac in physical manifestation. Yet from the day God spoke to him, God said, I've already done it. So whatsoever your need may be here this morning, say to your neighbor, whatsoever your need may be here this morning, God has already provided. So don't doubt at all. All you need is to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to help you to receive it. Amen. You know, when something is given, It has to be received. Isn't that so? And that's when the process becomes complete. Because if something is given and it's not received, the process is not completed. If I say, here, well, she has to stretch forth her hand and receive it. I want her to have it. But until she stretches forth her hand to receive it from me, the process is not complete. My desire is for her to have it, but she's not going to have it until she stretches forth her hand and receives it. Then I release it into her hands. So it's no longer in my hands now. It's now in her hands because she has made the connection by stretching forth her hand. That's why we need faith here on earth. The blessings are already there. No matter what you need here this morning. You need healing. You need wisdom. You need favor. You need breakthroughs. You need help in any area of life. God has already provided it for you in Christ Jesus in the Spirit. If you are a Christian, you are fully supplied. Say to your neighbor, if you are a Christian, you are fully supplied. There is no lack in your life. In your heavenly account, there is full supply in Christ Jesus. You just need to learn to rely on the Holy Spirit, the divine power of God, to help you receive it into physical manifestation here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen and amen. So blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3 again says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. In other words, all things that are necessary for all aspects of life. So God has already provided for us spiritually, emotionally, physically, materially, financially, on our jobs, in our businesses, in our careers, in our studies, in our homes, in our families, in all aspects of life. That's what the Bible is saying here. God has already made provision to cover every need in all areas of life for each one of us as his children because we belong to Jesus. You see? And the power of God has sorted everything out concerning us right from the foundation of the world. Because Jesus, the Lamb of God, was slain from the foundation of the world. And God chose us in Christ from the foundation of the world because he had foreknowledge of us that we would, of our own personal choices, accept the offer of his Son as our Savior and our Redeemer. God knew us even before he formed us. And so he provided all things for us in Christ Jesus, his beloved Son. So, according as his divine power had given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So, literally, what that means is that God has already provided for everything necessary for you to live all aspects of your life according to God's plan for you. Godly living in all areas of life. You see, God is a good God, isn't that? Isn't that so? He is a good God. Therefore, God wants you to have a good life. Everything you need to have a good life, God has provided for you in Christ Jesus. So there is no lack. Say to your neighbor, there is no lack. As far as God is concerned, there is no lack in your life. You just have to learn to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to help you get a supply in the time of need. Amen. So God has already provided, but you need his power to get the supply when you have a need here on earth. In the spirit, you don't really have any lack. Everything is there. But in the physical, until you receive it here, you still lack it. So that's why many times we wonder, well, God promised me healing. How come I'm sick? Well, what you need to understand is that you're already healed in the spirit. You just need the power of God to help you access that healing and replace the sickness you have in your body with the healing that belongs to you. See, the sickness is not your portion. Healing is your portion. The devil is trying to steal your health by putting sickness on you. So you have to rise up in faith and resist him and hook yourself up with the divine power of God to help you receive it. Now, notice before we look at another scripture, notice here in verse 3, Bible says that divine power of God is the means by which we have been given everything that pertains to life and godliness. Please pay attention now. The means by which we have been given everything that pertains to life and godliness is the divine power of God. Not any man, not any other way. Very specific. Only the divine power of God. And that's talking about the Holy Spirit that God anointed his son with and sent him into this world to make atonement for our sins and thereby restores back to himself as children and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So now we have everything that God has. Everything belongs to us. We are partakers of God's nature. We are owners of all of God's blessings. Everything. Because we are heirs of God now. And so we got it by the power, or let's put it this way, God gave it to us by his own power. And now, how are we to receive it? By the same power of God. That's where we are going this morning. The same way God gave it to us is the same way we are going to receive it. God didn't give it to us by any man. He gave it to us by his own power through Jesus Christ. And now the only way we are going to receive it here on earth is by the same power, not by any human means. So we don't need any carnal means to receive help from God. What we need is the Holy Spirit himself. Say to your neighbor, not by human power, not by human might, but by the Spirit of God. Amen. So the same way God gave it is the same way we are going to receive it. God gave it by his divine power. We are going to have to learn to receive it by the same power. Now, write this other scripture down. Get your pen and paper. I'll give you some points to take home and meditate in. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6. If you like, you can add verse 7 to it. We all know what is there, so we don't need to turn there this morning. Because God is consistent right through the scriptures. Whether you look in the Old Testament or the New Testament, you find God exactly the same. He doesn't change. He is the same forever. He cannot change. His ways are consistent. That's why we can rely on him at all times. Even Zerubbabel, God told him, it's not going to be by your own power. It's not going to be by your own might. It's going to be by the Spirit of God. And by the grace that comes through the Holy Spirit, you'll be able to accomplish what God has purposed for you to accomplish. So your destiny and my destiny in this world can only be fulfilled by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not by ourselves, not by any man helping us, but by God. You see, God can move upon men, don't get me wrong. God can move upon men to be part of the process of getting you to the fulfillment of your destiny. But it is God choosing to use those people. It is God moving upon them to be part of his plan to get you to where you are going in life. It is not for you to begin to seek out men to help you. That's where we often make mistake. You know, we can sit down and then use our intellect and say, well, who do I know that can help me in this matter? You know, how many times we've been disappointed going that way? We've all been through experiences like that. You sit down and you think, okay, this person will be in a position to help me. And then you get there only to be disappointed. Who hasn't been through that before? And then you begin to wonder. And sometimes some of us get angry. We think the person doesn't want to help. Because by our own rational reasoning, we know this person should be able to help us. But what do you know? You don't know anything. So we are not the ones to use our intellect to seek out help from any man. The arm of flesh will fail us. If God wants to use any human being, God will be the one preparing the person to use for his own glory in your life. And the person will not be able to say no, you see. When Jesus needed a donkey to ride into Jerusalem, he told his disciples where to go. He said, if any man asks you what you are doing, tell him the master, the Lord himself, has need for it. In other words, the owner of the donkey, the one who created the donkey, has need for it. And the man will not be able to say no. When God needed to feed his prophet Elijah, and the ravens had stopped bringing food, and the brook had dried, God said, arise, go to Zarephath. I have commanded a widow woman to feed you. You understand what we are talking about? It wasn't Elijah sitting down thinking, where am I going to get the next food? Who do I know around? Where should I go? Should I go to Zarephath? Or should I go to Jericho? No. He sat there and God told him, go to Zarephath. And don't just go to anybody in Zarephath. There's a specific person that I've prepared for you who cannot say no. That's the way God works. So keep your eyes on God and God alone. And if God wants to use any means or any person, it will be his own prerogative. And at the end of the day, the plan of God will be fulfilled in your life. Otherwise, you get frustrated, you get angry, and you even sin in the process. Some of us will then develop hatred against the person that we thought should help us, and we think that person doesn't really care. He doesn't want to help us. After all, by our own reasoning, he should be able to help me. He's a billionaire. I only need a few £100. And he said no. How can he tell me he loves me? I know he's a billionaire. How come? I just asked him for £500. And he turned me back. Well, did God send it to him? For all you know, even the billionaire can be broke. Maybe he's been living on borrowed money. And he's in trouble financially himself. But because of pride, he can't tell you, I'm sorry, I don't have. That I'm in trouble just as you are. But you are just looking at things on the surface. Why don't you go to God El Shaddai, who is never broke? Why don't you go to God who knows how to supply your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus? Why don't you go to God whose economy is always stable? See, we have to remember who we are. We are Christians. We are not ordinary people. We have God as our Father. Let us learn to be more conscious of God than we are conscious of the world around us. Let us be more conscious of the Creator than the created. He is Lord over all. So, according as his divine power has given us all these things. Alright, also, please write this scripture. I know you know it also. Study it when you get home. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 19. And please read it in context from verse 17 to verse 23, because Paul prayed it as a prayer for the church at Ephesus. And in verse 19, he spoke about the exceeding greatness of the power of God that is available for us as believers. So say to your neighbor, the divine power of God is available for you as a Christian. So take advantage of that power every day of your life. Amen. So the problem with us is many times we even forget that we have the power of God. And so we are trying to do it in our own human power. And then we get frustrated. Well, God told Zerubbabel, it's not going to be by human power. It's not going to be by human might. It's going to be by the Spirit of God. Any help you need in your life, you are only going to get by the divine power of God. So stop wasting your time looking to someone else or something else. Look to God and God alone. We waste too much time. We try so many ways, and at the end of the day, we end up, you know, getting frustrated. Why waste time trying what is not guaranteed to work? Wisdom tells us, if you know something is guaranteed to work, just go for it and stick to that and that alone. You don't need any other. And God is guaranteed to always succeed. His power is guaranteed to never fail. Every other thing will fail, but God will never fail. Even heaven and earth will fail, Jesus said, but his word will never fail. And the Holy Spirit, the mighty hand of God that performs his word here on earth, has never failed to succeed. Right from the beginning of creation in Genesis, he has always succeeded to perform the word of God. When God said, let there be light, the Holy Spirit manifested it. And even today, the Bible tells us that it is the same Holy Spirit that is withholding the devil from manifesting as Antichrist in a man until the time God has appointed. That's the time when the Holy Spirit has left, because the church has left. As long as the Holy Spirit is here, the greater one is in control. That's the Holy Spirit, not the devil. Say to your neighbor, the devil is not in control. The Holy Spirit is in control. Amen. Many of us worry about the devil. Ah, look at what the devil is doing. Look, that's for the people of the world. For us as Christians, the devil has no authority over us. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Jesus said, behold, I give unto you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Why? Because the greater one, the Holy Spirit, lives in you. We have to wake up and remember who we are. For the people of the world, they don't have the Holy Spirit. Of course, they are under the control of the devil, and the devil can beat their brains out anytime he likes. But for you as a Christian, remember who is in you. Don't rely on yourself. It's not by your power. It's not by your might. Rely on the divine power of God in you. And he knows what to do to put the enemy in his place in your life and give you the victory in every situation. Also, Luke chapter 1, verse 35 and verse 45. In context, please, you can read it from verse 34 to verse 38. We all know the accounts. Again, we don't need to turn there. That's Mary. God sending Archangel Gabriel to her and letting her know that she had been favored of God to be the mother of Jesus. In other words, the womb through which Jesus will be incarnate in this world. And then she asked the angel, how shall this thing be? How is it going to happen? And the angel said unto her, well, it's going to be by the power of God, because the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you to perform the word. In other words, no man can do it, only God. The same God that brought the plan for you is the same God that will perform it. And it came to pass, because in verse 45, Bible says she believed. And when she went to, you know, the house of Elizabeth, the Holy Spirit moved upon Elizabeth, and she said, well, blessed is she who has believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. You see, thank God, Mary believed God. She said unto the archangel, be it unto me, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be unto me according to thy word. That's what we need to do. We have to find out what the word of God says and agree with it, and then look to the Holy Spirit to perform it. Don't look to man. Look to the Holy Spirit to perform it. You know how many times some of us as Christians, even though we believe the word of God, we are still looking to man to perform those words. That's why many go from one crusade to another looking for healing. See, they believe God will heal them. But you see, they are getting it wrong. They are not supposed to be going just up and down for one man to lay hands on them. You see, if God wants you to be healed by that, he knows how to do it and tell you where to go. Rather than you just choosing and saying, well, I heard that so-so-so evangelist is coming to town. And then you rush there. And they lay hands on you, and you come back, you are still the same. And then you go to another one, they lay hands on you. After some time, you become bald-headed, because they've laid hands on you so much, but nothing has happened. because you are the one trying to get the word of God done in your own wisdom. Abraham tried the same thing and produced Ishmael, didn't he? What you should do is to take that word and begin to say, "Blessed Holy Spirit, I'm looking to you to perform the word of God. It is written, by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed. I don't know how you are going to do it, but I know you are faithful." And for all you know, while you are at home, just meditating the word of God and praising you, the power will just rest upon you right there and heal you. You won't even need to spend money going up and down to any crusade. Or you may just go to your church while you are just praising God or worshiping Him. The Holy Spirit moves upon you and heals you. The minister may not even know anything about you, but God knows. He touches you right there. Or he may decide to move, you know, through the giftings of the Spirit and just do His work. But you see, what we are saying is that you believe the word, like Mary believed the word, and then look to the Holy Spirit to perform it, and you will not be disappointed. Now, please write these points down and take them home to meditate in because of time. Number one, God has given unto us all things that are necessary for life and godliness by His divine power. God has given unto us all things that are necessary for life and godliness by His divine power. And then complete the statement by saying, the way we receive all these things from God is by the same divine power. In other words, the same power by which He has given us is the same way we are going to receive. We have emphasized that along the line. So please, in front of that, just write the scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. And Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6. Number 2. God ministers His divine power to us through two key ways. So we have to understand how God ministers His power to us. You see, it's not enough for us to know that God has given us things by His divine power. How do we connect with God in order to ensure that what is coming from Him gets to us? So the first thing is to know how God dispenses it by His own power, and the two ways by which He does it in order to ensure that it is by His power is through, number one, His word. And in front of that, please write the scriptures. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. You see, all those three scriptures clearly reveal to us that the word of God has the power of God in it. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 1:3, God opposes all things by His powerful word. Romans 1:16, Paul said the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes. And then number two, way by which God ministers His divine power to us is through the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is the power of God operating here on earth. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, in front of that. And Luke chapter 1 verse 35. Again in Luke 1:35, Archangel Gabriel said to Mary that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. In other words, the Holy Spirit is the power of God that will overshadow you to perform the word of God. And Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus Himself told His disciples not to leave Jerusalem until they had received the power of the Holy Spirit. And he said to them, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So we see that the Holy Spirit is the power of God. So if we want the divine power of God, we need his word and we need his spirit. Now, in order to receive, please write this down next. In order to receive the divine power to walk in our lives here on earth, we need to do two things. Number one, meditate in the word. Remember again, God ministers the divine power through his word and his spirit. And the same way he ministers is the same way we are going to receive. But for us to receive, we need to take the word of God and do something with it. Just as the farmer needs to take the seed and do something with it before he can get a harvest. You see, the farmer doesn't just take the seed, put it on the shelf and say, well, look at this beautiful corn seed. Oh, it's so nice to look at. If he does that, he's not going to get any harvest. He won't even have enough corn to eat, because that one grain of corn cannot satisfy him. So he has to take that seed, understand that this seed has potential to produce a big harvest. So I have to put it in the soil and let rain fall on it and let sun shine on it. And then this seed will become food for me. So it's the same thing with the word of God. We have to understand what to do with the word of God so that we can get the power of God that is in that word to work for us. And that's why we need to meditate. Say to your neighbor, you need to meditate in the word. Uh-huh. Meditation means you are studying it and you are thinking with all your attention. You are thinking about what the word says and reflecting on it and speaking it to yourself over and over again in order to grasp the truth in the inward man. Because you see, it's not enough to just have the word of God in your head. The head is not where the word of God is going to grow. The word of God grows in your spirit. Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Because your heart, your spirit is where the word of God grows. Because the word of God is spirit. It can't grow in the head. Stop just thinking about it in the head and then soon you forget it. No, meditate on it long enough to allow the Holy Spirit to help you digest it and store it in your human spirit. Then the power begins to flow right from the depth of your being because your heart has received the word of God and the power that is in it. So you need to meditate in it. And then when you've done that, you'll be able to believe it with all your heart and to speak it with your mouth, which is required to do the kind of faith that pleases God. So in front of that, please write the scriptures. Mark 11, 22 and 23. Romans 10, 6 to 10. See, when you meditate in the word, your heart is full of the word. There will be no doubt anymore. And then your mouth will speak out of the abundance of the heart in faith. And your faith will help you to possess the power of God to work for you. And then number two, you need to pray in the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4, and Jude 20. Jude has only one chapter. That's why I just said Jude 20. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, Bible says right there that he that prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. The word edify means to build himself up. So when you are praying in other tongues, you are building up your spirit. In other words, the power of God is charging you up. You know, when a battery is dead, you need another one to charge it up. So the power of God is charging you up in the human spirit, releasing the power that you need in that situation into you so that you can have your needs met in that area. And Jude 20 tells us we need to build ourselves up in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. In other words, when we pray in the Holy Ghost, the power of God is released in our lives and into the situation where we need help, and then we can see what God himself can do. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Well, why don't you lift your hands to Him and thank Him this morning? He is the source of all your supply. Everything you need that pertains to life and godliness comes by the divine power of God. So whatsoever your need may be here this morning, the Holy Spirit has a supply for you. But again, you need to stand in faith, in the word, and in prayer to allow the Holy Spirit to perform what God needs to perform in that situation. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. With God, all things are possible. God makes a way for us where there seems to be no way. He is the same God that created everything we see, and even the things we don't see. He created everything out of nothing. None of us has ever seen hair before, and yet we know we need it to live, and God created it. He created the stars and the moon, the galaxies, all the vastness of the universe. God created them, created the sea, created the sand, weighed everything in a balance. Bible tells us in Isaiah 40, He spanned the heavens, measured everything out. We are talking about God who is so awesome. What is your need here this morning that God cannot meet? How come we worry so much about our needs? See, the reason why we worry is because we have taken our eyes off of where our help is coming from. We are focusing on ourselves and focusing on our natural resources. God has not called us to focus on ourselves as His people. He has called us to focus on Him, to look to Him as a source of help. Not to look to ourselves, not to look to any harm of the flesh, but to God and His divine power. So right where you are this morning, whatsoever your need may be, I want you right from the depth of your heart to talk to God, because the first place God looks at is your heart, not your mouth. He looks at the heart. He wants to see faith in your heart. He wants to see your heart reaching out to Him and saying, Lord, You alone are my help. I'm not looking elsewhere. You are more than enough for me. There is nothing You cannot do for me. If You have promised it in Your word, You are able to do it. How You are going to do it, when You are going to do it, I don't know. But I sure know one thing. You are the God who never fails. You always keep Your promises. So I'm truly, truly, truly relying on You and You alone. And I'm asking You, Lord, to help me by the power of Your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead and talk to Him along that line. You see, it's about the heart. When you purpose in your heart to rely on God, God can read it right there within you. He can see the purpose in your heart, because He tries the reins of the heart. Bible says He searches all our hearts. Daniel and the three Hebrew children in Babylon, Bible says they purpose within themselves that they will not allow themselves to be defiled by the things that were prepared for the king, you know, knowing that most of those things were slaughtered, you know, calling on the name of their idols rather than calling on the name of God. And they will not heed those things that are not prepared to glorify God. And Bible says, because they just purpose in their heart, even what they were eating, which was not as sumptuous as what others were eating, God blessed the food, you see. And they were looking better than the other people that were eating so much from the king's table. See, God can bless your food. Even if it's only bread that you are eating, God can bless it and make that bread nourish you better than somebody eating cake and other delicacies. It's the blessing of God that makes the difference, you see. So look to him this morning. And say, Lord, I'm looking to you for my healing, for my health, for the wisdom I need in this situation, for the favor I need in this area of my life, for the promotion that I am due for at work, for the open doors that I need in this area of life, for the victory I need in this aspect of my life. Whatsoever the area of your need, talk to God about it. Purpose in your heart that you are going to rely on his divine power to meet that need. You are not looking to yourself. You are not looking to any man. You are not looking to anything created. You are looking to God and to the power of God. God and God alone. And now call to your mind a promise from the word of God that addresses that need. Just one scripture that the Holy Spirit inspires in your heart. That's enough. You don't need 10 scriptures. One is enough. If it is inspired by the Holy Spirit, it becomes rhema. The word that will get the job done. The basis of your faith in communion with God. For instance, maybe you are sick in your body and the Holy Spirit just inspires in you to remember, according to Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. And then you begin to say, Lord, thank you that you heal all sicknesses and diseases. So mine is part of it. There is no incurable with you. Even though the doctor said that sickness is incurable, I believe you. And I thank you for healing me right now by your divine power in Jesus' name. That's what it means to commune with God in faith. You are standing upon his word and talking to him on the basis of his word. Bible says we should come and plead your case before God that you may be justified. You take his word. That's the word that justifies you. Because it's the word of justice. Every scripture is the word of justice. God is the judge of the whole earth. And he upholds all things by his word. His word of justice. So you go to him and say, God, you said so. I believe it with all my heart. And now I'm asking you to perform it by your power. In Jesus' name. So if you have done that now, go ahead and pray for the next couple of minutes. Pray in other tongues. Let the Holy Spirit release the power of God into that area of your need. You see, you have communed with God with all your heart, trusting in him as your source of help. And you have brought to your heart the promise of God that addresses your need. And now you are asking the Holy Spirit to perform it. That's the way to do it. Every situation. Find out what the word of God says. Talk to God from your heart. Let your heart be in agreement with God on the basis of his word. And then begin to pray in other tongues. Begin to pray in other tongues. Begin to pray in other tongues. Because he that prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. We begin to speak for the mysteries of God, the plans of God in that situation of your life. You begin to declare the thus saith the Lord concerning you in that situation. And the power of God overshadows you and overshadows the situation and performs the will of God for you, turning everything around for the glory of God, making everything to work together for good unto you who love God, who are called according to his purpose, because you are allowing the Holy Spirit to help you to pray. None of us knows how to pray as we ought to. Bible says in Romans chapter 8 from verse 26, we don't know how to pray as accurately as we ought to, but the Holy Spirit is there to help us. That's why we take the word and begin to pray. We begin to go, kok prefikitineando solamangaya. Oh, go ahead, let's all talk in the spirit for the next couple of minutes. In doing so, we are praying for ourselves and praying for our fellow brethren also. We are pulling together in one accord, flowing in the power of the Holy Spirit, the divine power of God, to meet every need that is presented before God here this morning. the need in your life, the need in my life, the need in the lives of our fellow brethren in this church and in the body of Christ, because we are all one spirit with God. When we pray in other tongues, we allow the Holy Spirit to flow the river of divine help to every part of the body. It's so marvelous, so marvelous. Oh, Nangrederosa, Mambro Monkos, Kenananahanda, Ongre Nananana Moski, Mambro Minkendele Moske, Pramongo the Kaya, Miengala Rossi, Embro Noske, Nananana Mahata, Embre Menge de la Moski, Mangro non de Sekelama, Yengro non de So, Mancre Menge de Bakaya, La Brominke, Tecana, No Solomondoco. Thank you, mighty God, that it is written, you are our very present help in trouble. Therefore, we are not afraid of any situation. We are not dismayed in any circumstance contrary to us, because there is a river that makes glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. And Lord, we are stirring that river out of our bellies to flow and minister help to everyone at all points of need by your own power, your own divine power. Every one of us in this church and all our fellow brethren everywhere this morning, in the name of Jesus. Sokata pokolorose onana geleboke prebekete genananahanda libro mondo soke mandele probie candorosa. Thank you for your power that overshadows us spiritually, emotionally, physically, materially, our jobs, our businesses, our careers, our families, our loved ones, oh God. Every plan and endeavor of our lives, our studies, for every student among us, in the name of Jesus, our careers, everything that pertains to every one of us in all aspects of life, we look to your divine power this morning to rest upon us all and overshadow us and make everything perfect according to your will for us, in the name of Jesus Christ. Libromondo so nangre kemanane hienge bala krono no semanangaya he glododo selamange brokune nanamahaya. Oh na 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 na, thank you for breakthroughs, Lord. Divine breakthroughs for every one of us, wherever we need breakthroughs in all aspects of life, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your power making the difference in all aspects of our need here this morning. And Lord, we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor and all the praise and all the adoration. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and evermore. In the name of Jesus. Now lift your hands to God and begin to thank him. Thank him for what his divine power has done for you. Thank God for the testimonies that you shall give to glorify him. When you shall come and declare, look at what God has done for me. It is the doing of the Lord, and it is marvelous in my eyes. God is faithful. He never fails to keep his word. We just need to rely on him and him alone, and wait patiently for him to do for us here on earth what he has already done for us in the heavens. God never fails. With faith and patience, we inherit the promises of God. Lift your hands to him and thank him. In Jesus' name, amen.